Blackout. They arrived, tired from their lives and their truths more than from walking. The camp was some meters away from a canyon. At their feet was red earth, redder in the firelight, darker and darker toward the wide chasm of earth that contained the last remnants of a dying river. They'd walked along the canyon for some time before reaching camp. Stax had held her same place at 6 o'clock as they'd marched, and it felt the same, although Thurwar told herself it was different. It was a massive, sad relief to hear the anchor announce,
"Blackout. March will initiate in 14 hours.
"Well, shit," Ice Ice the elephant said. "I'm glad for that at least."
He put one of his large hands on Thurwar's shoulder and turned and walked to Stax, whom he hugged. Thurwar found her dinner, and rather than bring it into the tent, opened the box of crispy broccoli, an organic roast chicken, and a brioche bun with truffle butter and aged Parmesan. She pulled the meal out and set the tray on her lap. She bit into the bun first before she twisted open a bottle of still water.
"Blackout dinner," Thurwar said. "Cheers."
She raised the bottle up, and it shined as the light in her wrist split, reflected and refracted against the clear. Stax sat down on an actual chair across the way from Thurwar, a fire between them. Aham together. They could speak and be heard only by themselves. Thurwar drank her water, balancing her tray on her thighs. The rest of the chain stood around them, unsure, uneasy.
"Relax," Thurwar said. "Have a seat. It's blackout."
Then Stax said,
"Did something happen? You guys are stressing me out."
And at this, Gunny Puddles began to chuckle. He sat down and opened the box with his name on it. The others followed suit. Thurwar tried to remember the men they'd killed just earlier in the day, how they'd seemed to find peace. She knew it was a convenient illusion, but it felt real. She hoped they would forgive her. She hoped whatever she did with Stax, there'd be forgiveness waiting for her. She could feel herself shedding something. This resistance that had once defined her, a persistence, a hardness. She felt it slipping away. She was grateful.
"So what's the plan?" Sai asked.
"You guys aren't going to eat, huh?" Thurwar said.
She thought of what she'd seen and done with the humans around her and felt lighter than she had in a long time. The worst that could happen was here, and so she was taking a moment to be relieved. She stretched her knee out, rubbed it some while balancing the tray, let the taste of chicken fill her up.
"It's not fair," Sai said. "It's fucked," Rico said. "That's the game," Gunny said.
"It's not right, but it already wasn't," Thurwar said.
"But this is,"
Rico started, and Stax interrupted him.
"It's a blackout, and you all are killing the vibes. Mac didn't say suck my dick for no reason. This is what is here. This is what it is. And so for now, today, all I wanna know is."
Here, Stax leaned in toward the fire.
"Who y'all got?"
"What you mean?" Rico said, though they all understood.
"It's a simple question. And are you gonna spend the BP to watch us?" Stax pushed.
Aham looked to Thurwar, as they did for so much.
"Answer her," Thurwar said.
She smiled, though some part of her felt a bleed. Already they were doing a kind of consoling. They were helping the chain, releasing some pressure for them, giving them the space to know with certainty that change was coming. They were across the circle from each other, but at least in this they were unified. Another performance, something to make okay what never could be okay.
"You a great one, Miss Thurwar, but that one is the right kind of crazy with the Reaper stick. I'll watch, and I'll be in the premium seats for it,"
Ice Ice said.
I am pretty good with this thing, Stack said. She petted Loveguile's head.
I watched your first match in the E-Block rec room when I was inside,
Sai-Ai-Ai said. I've never seen anything like that.
I knew from then, the better Third World was saying hi, Freed, respectfully.
Sai added. Stax laughed, and Third War nodded. Rico, who had actually gone from glassy-eyed to quietly crying, laughed at himself.
It's hard to be Stax if she's focused. I don't even feel comfortable saying it. Fuck! Stax is tough if she's serious.
He looked at the ground as he spoke. When am I ever not serious? Stax asked. The whole chain laughed now.
Exactly. I think Thorwar a year ago wins it. Right now, I can't call it.
Ice Ice the elephant said,
Inside 30 seconds, Stax. Anything longer, blood mama reigns.
You guys sound like the Re-Vegas people. Sheesh, Stax said.
Thorwar. Badwater said.
And Max says Stax, Stax said. He just told me in my ear.
I've been an underdog before, Third War said.
The other Lynx began to eat, and they let their minds wander about the kinds of deaths that would unfold around them in a week's time, and in the weeks after. They stayed there in the warmth and light of the fire, and Third War didn't have to wonder if she'd done something good.
I'm definitely going to be up in the cloth boxes, Sai said. Me too, if you spot me some BP,
Rico said to Third War.
Ask Stax to front you, since she's so tough,
Third War said. Her laughter made the chain relax further, so they laughed too.
I'm saying she's just really a bad matchup for anybody.
Whatever, Third War said, and they enjoyed her. They were proud to be led by the woman named Loretta Thurwar. The night moved through itself, and when the feeling was that sleep was the only thing left to do, Gunny Puddles asked a question.
While we're all kumbaya, I've been meaning to ask, why did you kill Sun? He was a son of a bitch, but he treated you like royalty. Why did you do that to somebody of that kind of cut?
Thurwar's eyes found Stax. The night was cool and held the sharp sound of wind moving through the canyon like a low breath, a constant call to remind them it was there.
He asked me to. I had to help him.
The chain heard this. The air held the sound of openness. Gunny nodded. He didn't challenge her further. Here, Stax got up and walked slowly toward the chasm, slowly in the darkness toward the split in the earth. She left Loveguile by the fire and walked away from the chain. Thurwar sat with the rest of them. She loved them, didn't want to disappoint them. She hoped they knew it. When she looked up to where Stax had gone, she could not see her. Thurwar got up, her knee gently throbbing. She couldn't see Stax, so she walked faster in her direction. She needed to see Stax that moment. She needed to. And she did. The glow of Stax's wrists led Thurwar back to her. She was waiting at the canyon's edge, the light coming off her body like a prayer.
I made this, you know, Stax said.
She looked down, and the way she hovered over death made Thurwar's heart seize.
Made what? Thurwar asked.
She wanted to reach out and pull Stax back, but she could have just as easily pushed her over.
This canyon. I was practicing one day and got a little excited and wham, went and cut a hole right in the world.
Stax leaned over the edge. Thurwar closed her eyes, tried to let what would happen happen. Maybe this was the easiest way. They were two of the greatest warriors the world had ever seen. Thurwar reached her hand to the small of Stax's back. She grabbed the edge of her sweatpants and pulled her back toward her.
They turned to face each other.
I believe it, Thurwar said.
I don't like thinking about either one of us without the other, Stax said.
Thurwar brought Stax in closer, felt the look in her eyes, and hoped Stax could feel her too.
I don't know why we have to do this. Let's just leave together, both of us.
Thurwar said the words and felt weary as she heard them in the air.
Why are you making us do this? It's supposed to be us. Why are we going to the grounds?
Thurwar had asked before. She knew she would not get to ask again.
If I jumped right now, what would you do? Stax said.
I'd follow you, Thurwar answered.
And if you did, I'd do the same thing, Stax said.
And if Puddles came over and tossed a knife in my neck?
The thought sent a hot wave through Thurwar's body.
I'd turn him to dust, Thurwar said.
And then what?
Thurwar imagined standing over the mush she'd make of Puddles.
I don't know,
Thurwar said, but she knew there'd be a fire, a hatred in her that would continue to swell, something that would need something else to eat.
You'd kinda wanna go find his family, or at least his dog or something, right?
Stax said. Her voice smiled, but her face was mournful there in the dark. Thurwar listened.
I know we've sent a message in all this, and if we go to the grounds, it gets to live in a different way.
How will it?
I can't. Well, I can, Stax said. If they make me kill you, I know that I'll spend the rest of my time trying to destroy them. You get it. I know you feel it.
I don't. I won't do it.
If you weren't on the grounds, then at least I'd be.
If I killed you, then what? What would that do?
Thurwar had stepped even closer to Stax. She could almost feel the heat of her skin.
It would make you stay. You'd find a way to turn them to dust. Or you'd try. You'd find Tracy. You'd become a part of something. And you'd work and work and work, and maybe somewhere in that, you'd forget me at least a little, and live a little bit by yourself. I want you to have something to keep you here so that all you are can be out there for just a little longer. And you shouldn't have to do anything. You've done so much, but I know you. You'll try, because that is what you do, and that will be something. That will be everything.
So I'm a messenger for you? What if I don't want that?
You're my message, and I'm yours, Stax said. Whoever wins, it will be the same.
Thurwar brought her hands up past Stax's shoulders, held her head in her palms.
Us, Stax said.
But what's the message then? What message is worth all this?
Stax took Thurwar's wrists, squeezed them. Thurwar let herself cry.
You're right, Thurwar said. I know.
And she kissed her to let her know she was the best thing in her life, and she wanted all the time they had left.